Welcome to Bootstrap MD, the Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast, your source to help you, the entrepreneurial doctor, live life on your own terms. Get new ideas and inspiration to help you find more balance in your professional life. If you're ready to get the knowledge without all the hype, you've come to the right place. It's the Bootstrap MD Podcast. And now your host, Dr. Mike Wu Ming.
You've built a career helping others. Now it's about building something lasting for yourself and your family. Lightstone Direct connects you to private real estate investments designated to create lasting wealth. You've earned access. Take your seat at the table at lightstonedirect.com. All investments involve risk. Please visit lightstonedirect.com for a full list of disclosures. Hey guys, this is Dr. Mike Wu Ming. Welcome to another edition of Bootstrap MD, the podcast for physician and healthcare entrepreneurs. I think I put together a pretty exciting topic. And from time to time, I get doctors are coming to me and says, I'm looking to start a business. What do you think is like a hot area to go into? And so I piled all the things that I've learned or just talking to other doctors, going to different conferences. And I think I put together the five emerging business models that are reshaping physician entrepreneurship that any physician can get into. Now, we're not going to just cover the old playbook, just starting up a practice or talking about consulting side hustles. Those are very successful ways that have been done in the past, but I think these are some genuine different ways to building real companies on there. I've got five models here. I'm going to go from the most accessible to probably the most ambitious. Models 1 through 4 build on each other logically. Transition, you know, starting it slow and building up. Model 5 is completely different, so you want to pay attention to that last one. We're going to cover some real capital requirements. These aren't just made up numbers, but just some projections about what you need to have to get into. Some timelines and what are some skills needed, who is each of these models for, and then put together like a critical question you need to decide before you venture on. So lots of information here. So let's get started. So the first model that I came up with is the micro niche cash practice. I've talked about this before. It's where you have a small focused practice around a specific patient demographic who are not taking insurance, they're paying cash. Now, this isn't just like a dermatologist opening up a practice. This is practices where you're helping with transformation. You're helping people with specific problems that they need help in. So an example is you work with athletes, and specifically just CrossFit athletes who have overuse injuries. Or I help perimenopausal women executives optimizing their hormones. Or I just work with male CEOs and entrepreneurs with metabolic syndrome. Now, that might even seem a little too narrow, but this is why narrow focus works, because it's where your marketing becomes simple. You know exactly where your patients are. And this can be very powerful when you focus on, let's say you're just going to focus on CrossFit at least. You know, those are very tight communities and your market could blast off just from word of mouth advertising. And this is where you can, this is important when you do specialized expertise. This is where you can justify having a premium price. You can just imagine, instead of just getting paid $50 or $100 a month, you're charging even like $1,000, little as $1,000 to $5,000 a year or more. You can have 100, 300, 500 patients, you're making $300,000 to $1 million a year. It's a very lean practice and with little overhead. So maybe you focus on just doing a base membership, maybe doing $500 to $1,000 a month. You then have like procedure-based structures. So maybe you focus on treatments, therapies, specific injections. Then you'll have ancillary products where you're making money, but you're not actually providing the service. This could be having supplements, selling supplements, or maybe you have devices where you have a medical assistant manning the machine, or maybe you're charging a specialized laboratory work. The requirements of this is the capital is generally small, maybe, you know, less than 100,000. I would say even less than 70,000 capital. You're going to need that for renting an office, legal, marketing, limited marketing, and about 3 to 6 months of just operating capital. Again, you're keeping this small. It's probably just you, maybe a medical assistant, an office manager, and that's about it. Your skills that you need is you need to have some skills in marketing. So keep listening to this channel where we talk about marketing. The skills about building your own brand. you need to be comfortable with sales. This might be a little bit difficult for some, but I think, as I said in the past, doctors make great salesmen because not necessarily just sales, but the importance of persuasion and feeling like you have a treatment that can help this person. So you would do everything you can to convince them to do it. It's just, if I'm going to recommend my mother to get this particular procedure treatment, you would do everything you can to help them persuade it because you know this is the best path forward for them. You need to have learn about building systems. That's what we talk about all the time on this podcast. The timeline on this is 3 to 6 months to launch, maybe 6 to 12 months that you're actually being profitable. And now about a year to year and a half, you're actually now replacing your income. There are some critical success factors that you need to make this work. A geographic density. Can you find 100 plus ideal patients within 20 miles? Are you willing to actively market? Do you have the discipline to say no to patients who are outside this niche? I know this part can be very difficult, but again, I'm focusing on this very niche practice that's clearly differentiated from traditional practice. There are some common pitfalls you have to watch out for. Sometimes your niche might be too narrow. Help the doctor who wanted to focus on just men and then realize, you know what? I just don't have enough. I can't find 100 plus patients existing within 10 to 20 miles. I'm going to expand it to the men or maybe their spouses. Or maybe you're going too broad. I've seen that as well. Are you trying to sell to everyone? When you tell to everyone, you kind of sell to no one. Another common pitfall that I see with doctors is they're underpricing. They're devaluing what they have to offer. They're competing on cost versus what actually is the value that they can provide. And then they're just weak marketing. Maybe they're just waiting for doctor referrals. It's not going to have time if you actually get your feet wet and go in and start marketing on it. This is when it's helpful to have ancillary staff to go out and do that. That's what we've done in our own practice, to go in and meet like-minded businesses who don't necessarily compete, but maybe they want to joint venture with you. Again, this is for someone who is willing to hustle for this, no doubt about it. But the payoff can be considerably lucrative. Who is this for? This is for doctors who want to practice differently. They're ready to be comfortable with being a business owner, and they've identified an underserved segment. This is not good for people who want to have 20,000 patients. This is not for doctors who are uncomfortable with marketing. This is not for doctors who I need to get paid right away on here. Again, there has to be some investment on here. You need to have the courage to actually go out and do it. In anything as an entrepreneur, you need to have courage to do that. So a critical question is, can you describe your ideal patient in just one sentence? And then can you find 100 plus patients that exist within the 20 miles? I bet you can. So that's my first model, you know, that really heavily niched cash-based practice. The key takeaway on this, guys, is that focus beats scale. And I've talked about it before, the riches are in the niches. All right, let's go down to model number two. This is another one that I've been venturing in. It's in the telemedicine specialty brand on here. So what is the definition of this is when you're having a virtual specialty practice, but now you want national reach. Here's the key difference is you are the brand, or you or a group of doctors are the brand. You're not just a nameless doctor on a platform on here. There are certain specialties that do well with this. A dermatology is a visual specialty that would probably do well with this. Others could be psychiatry, hormone optimization, weight loss. Another way that you can go into it is maybe instead of you being the primary doctor, maybe you offer second opinions. I've seen this in cardiology. I've seen this in oncology. I've seen this in practices that focus on complex diagnoses. Another area that you can go into that is emerging is chronic disease. This could be helping people with diabetes long-term, thyroid, autoimmune conditions. There are three kind of business models that I'm seeing this. One is direct-to-consumer. You've probably seen things like big telemedicine companies advertising on Super Bowls. Obviously, you're not going to get there on day one, but marketing, and this is why it's important to also taking what we learned in model one, is going into where the niches are. But you market, you've got full control, you've got better margins, more to work for. There's more work that's involved in here. Another one is instead of going direct to consumer, you go business to business. Maybe you contract with employers, big employers or plans. This is steadier volume, but there's always a trade back on here. When you go in business to business, you might have lower margins. Then you could do big platform partnerships. These are examples of the Rows or the Hims, Hers of the world. This one, the drawbacks are there's the least control and the lower margins on here. And there is considerable investment to try to do something that big. But rather the revenue potentials, you're focusing on a per visit. This is generally under $500 or less, somewhere between $150 to $400. A lot of them focus on subscriptions. You want that recurring revenue. That could be anywhere between $99 to $299 a month per patient. And maybe you can start out slow, virtually about 15 to 25 patients virtually. Annually, that's about $200,000 to $500,000. So not too bad on here. The good thing on this is you can expand as you grow on here. You don't have to get 50 plus licenses on here. You can just start with your state. And then as you grow, you can move forward. So your capital is generally low. This is legal. That's probably the biggest one. Getting licenses, developing a platform, making sure it's HIPAA compliant. And of course, you need capital for marketing. The skills is you need to be comfortable doing clinical skills. So this is often where I often say I come to a number of doctors and want to start a telemedicine startup. Work for a telemedicine company first. Learn how what's involved in that and the nuances that are involved in telemedicine. You need to be involved in creating content for marketing. You need to have to build, understand the skills of systems and just the regulatory understanding of telemedicine. This is why legal, it's important to have legal up front right away. Timelines to this, probably about 4 to 6 months in terms of setup, 6 to 12 months of actually building a base. And then hopefully after a year, you start building some full-time income. So here are some major considerations on here. You know, you're going to need license in every state that you see patients. It helps if you have the IMLC. IMLC is the Interstate Medical Licensure Compact. It lets you get a number of states in a short period of time, I think like 25 plus states. Then, of course, there's the cost of ongoing renewals and CME per state. And every license is a bit different. Every state is a bit different in terms of telemedicine. It can get very complex. So there are some compliance laws. The state laws vary. Prescribing rules differ. There's some that are going to require an initial in-person visit. You need to have the council to tell you what those are. And then there's the platform decisions. Is it building your own, which is involved more work, control, or margins? Now they're having these platforms, telemedicine platforms, that are existing faster, but there is less control. And then you have to deal with each of the different telemedicine platforms. Each have their own quirks and such. I'm going to give that word a quirk. I want to use another word on here, but this is a family show on here. So what are some critical success factors? You need to have a strong online presence and have some marketing background and understand marketing, clear specialty positioning. How do you position yourselves? Excellent virtual communication. And then you need to have a strategy for patient acquisition. Who's this for? This is for physicians who want local independence. They want to work wherever they want. They're comfortable with virtually. They have clear expertise and they're good at creating content. This is not good for a specialty who requires some type of hands-on examination. That these are not for physicians that are uncomfortable with tech. Maybe they struggle with virtual communication. So a critical question you want to ask if you want to go into model number two is, can your specialty be delivered via video and are patients actively searching online for it? So the key takeaway, you can build a national brand, but you need to understand compliance issues.
Running an independent practice has never been harder, especially with rising health insurance costs. That's why a physician created Rise Health, premium health insurance built exclusively for independent doctors, their employees, and their families with cost savings. Take control of your practice and protect the people who matter most. Get your quote today at risehealth.com. That's RYZE health.com. And stay connected. Follow at rise.health on Instagram and also find them on LinkedIn at Rise Health.
Module number three, we're going to call this the knowledge commerce practice. What is the knowledge commerce practice? This is when you practice a medical expertise into products generating revenue. Here's a kicker though. You're not actually seeing patients. So what can you be providing? You could be providing for consumers information on, let's say, health optimization through online courses. This is also where you can actually creating not just working with patients, but you can be helping other doctors or other providers, that word everybody loves, that could be involved in doing online training for different procedures or CME. Online courses can vary from $297. I've seen them as high as $5,000 on here. You can then create another, so that's online courses. Another category of products you can create are group programs. You're getting cohort-based with live coaching, $1,000 to $5,000. Another one is building membership communities. I know a non-doctor creating a membership. It's in the seven figures on menopause on here. This is where you're creating ongoing access, monthly content. You're doing Q&As that could range anywhere between $49 to $300 a month. And then maybe you have your high ticket coaching. Now you're charging $5,000 to $25,000 or more for doing one-on-one or a small group. So why does the knowledge commerce practice work? It's historically worked on there. The margins are amazing, 70 to 90%. This is where you can create something once, like a product, and then you sell it repeatably. This also allows you to scale. So instead of having your income based on how many patients, you're limited by appointments. Now you're serving hundreds, perhaps even thousands. One very beneficial aspect of this is it's independent location. Doesn't matter where you are. And this is an asset with real value. You can actually sell this business on here. So rate of requirements on this, good thing the capital is pretty low, maybe $5,000 to $25,000 that you're actually initially selling. Platform is $150 to $400 a month. Maybe you've got some marketing aspects. Maybe you need to get some software, other aspects to deliver it. You've got memberships to build a community, et cetera. Skills, you need to learn about content creation. You need to learn how to design a curriculum. You need video editing skills, and you need to understand email marketing, and you need to be comfortable with sales. Timeline on this. This was relatively short, 2 to 4 months maybe to create your content, your course, 6 to 12 months to build an audience, and then 12 to 24 months. Hopefully you can start replacing your income. So what does that kind of look like? Here's some reality on the revenue. Let's say you do selling a course for $997. And you make 50 sales. That's a year. That's $50,000 a year. Maybe you develop a membership. Maybe you charge $99 a month. You have 100 members paying each month. That's about $120,000 a year. You got a group program. Maybe that's a four cohorts. You have $2,000 people paying you for your group. 15 people, that's $120,000. So combined, you're making about $200,000 to $500,000. Not too shabby. You're not even selling to patients on here. Here's a critical. What is the critical for success is you need an audience. You need to start building content, consistent content, 6 to 12 months. Ideally, if you want to sell a course, I want to see 1,000 plus email list, $5,000 a month, 5,000 people for consistent sales. The good thing on this is you can do this while you're still employed as a doctor. Maybe you just focus on posting 3 to 5 times a week. Maybe you have a weekly newsletter or a podcast. You do start doing guest appearances on other podcasts. What are the critical successful factors? You need to have unique methodology, a framework on what you're doing, clear transformation you provide. You want to make sure that you've got your coaching, you've got some testimonials that you can share. You want to be very consistent in content creation and understand digital marketing. What are some common pitfalls? One of the biggest things I see is people, they spend all this time and months building a course before actually building an audience. Big mistake. Focus on building the email list first. Another pitfall is the topic's too generic. There's too much competition or people are just not interested. Another one is just you have poor quality. You're not developing a course people want. You don't know your marketing. You're weak marketing. And then another one that I see a lot is they just price it too low. That does make a difference in what you want to get back. Who's it for? These are for people who enjoy teaching. They have a unique expertise. They're comfortable on camera and they're being patient with building up their audience. This is not for people who don't like being on camera. They don't want to market or sell and they need to make immediate income fast. It's probably something that I see the same thing is a lot of these. This isn't for people who want get rich quick. This is for people who want to build a brand and understand it takes time to do that. So what is a critical question that you have in Model 3 is, do you have a unique framework others would be willing to pay for to learn? And are you willing to spend 6 to 12 months building an audience, building up your email list? The key takeaway here is this is a great type of practice. It's a fun type of practice or business to build in. Your expertise is having intellectual property. You have expertise. You just need to get in the form that people want it, be able to package it, protect it, and then you can profit repeatedly. But again, first focus on building an audience. The product is always secondary. All right, folks, we got model number 4, the licensing or partnership model. This is pretty exciting. This is now go from building a business to now scaling it through others. The great thing about a licensing or partnership model is you build the system once and you get paid repeatedly as others implement it. It's the ultimate leverage model. It's a natural next step after you build something that we've talked about in the previous 3 models. So what can be licensed? You've got a successful practice. You can license your critical clinical protocols. This is your treatment frameworks, your care pathways. You can license your business system, how you market it, how you do operations, how you do workflows. You can then brand it or create franchise models. That's what I'm involved in. This is where they completely replicated my full practice. Then you've got training programs. So you can do certifications, transformations. Revenue models on this is There's upfront licensing costs, anywhere between $5,000 to $50,000, one time only, ongoing royalties, 5 to 15% of revenue, like $500 to $5,000 a month. Maybe you do the franchise model, you're getting it to be 150K plus or more to franchise it, and then 6 to 10% ongoing fees, and then the certification and product sales. You can make money with training fees and selling supplies to licenses. So do the math. Let's say you license your stuff, you charge $10,000 you get initially for 20 license for $10,000 and selling 20 licenses is $200,000. Maybe you're doing $2,000 a month. You're selling 20 licenses on a monthly basis, 20 licenses, 2,000 is about 480K. So you're making about $680,000 on here. So $10,000 monthly, then you charge $2,000 a month, $680,000. Why does the licensing works? It's because you have a proven model. So people want proven models. They want to see if you've been successful. You got proven results. Successful practice uses systems, documented outcomes, and they have a replicable methodology. Why is it protected? Why does this work? Because you've got successful practice. Make sure you trademark it. Make sure you have copyright materials. You need to protect your IP. You got trade secrets out there. Have an attorney draft agreements to help you protect your all the things that you've built. And then you need to have support infrastructure. You have training, ongoing education, quality control, and maybe you're building a community who's licensing your stuff. So what are the requirements? You need to have a successful business that people want to replicate. So you might take 1 to 3 years in refining it. You need to have some capital. A lot of it goes to legal, creating training materials, marketing, and then support. The skills that you need to have systems, training ability, quality control, and legal understanding. The timeline to build something like this is 6 to 12 months of documentation, 3 to 6 months to pilot it, and then 12 to 24 months to scale your business. So considerations that you need to have for this is your quality control. Your reputation depends on the performance of the licensees. You need to have the legal aspects. If you need to have termination rights, you need to make sure that they're auditing. They're doing what you're saying that they're doing to protect your ongoing information that you're licensing out. Licensings are going to need ongoing help. So there is some support requirements that you have. It's not sell and forget. There's legal complexities, especially I know this in franchising, but attorney drafted agreements are essential. You need to protect your trademark. It is critical. And scalability, because you need to build a team to do this. Critical success factors is a proven documented system, clear differentiation, building a strong brand, being able the ability to train others to replicate it, and have mechanisms to help with quality control. Some common pitfalls is licensing too early. You don't have protection on your IP. You're selecting the licensees wrong. They're not good candidates. You don't provide good support, and maybe you're underpricing on here. So what do you need to get started in licensing? Documentation, document everything, create your training programs, make sure you get legal protection. Maybe you're going to pilot it. Maybe you're going to start with licensing your stuff. Maybe you work with 3 to 5 pilot licensees, and then you refine based upon their feedback. And then after a year, you need to scale, market it, standardizing, building your support team. So who's licensing for? People have already built successful businesses. You're creating replicable systems. They want leverage without having to do patient care. This is not for people who haven't built a successful business. They don't want to support them. So a critical question you need to have in this model is, have I built a successful, documented, replicable system others would pay $20,000 to $15,000 to implement? If you got, that's a great foundation for a business. The key takeaways, ultimate leverage with this model, natural progression after building what you learned in models 1 through 3. Finally, at the last model, and this is not for the faint of heart, but this is, I think, is worth that. This is when you know, if you go in this model, I think you'll be very successful. And it's where the industry is going. And that's building an AI healthcare company. Your models 1 through 4, we leverage our medical expertise in progressive ways. Model 5 is different. We're talking about tech entrepreneurship. This is building a real tech company. This isn't just using AI tools in practice. And that could be the foundation to actually learn this. But this is building an AI technology business. And this requires you to go all in. So real opportunity. There's lots of opportunity in medicine for AI clinical decision support, assisting with diagnoses, treatment optimization, risk tools, building an AI virtual care platform. This is where the AI handles the triage and the routine. It's already happening. I'm seeing it already. But then the physicians handle the complex cases. This is where you're using AI for diagnostic screening. So they're reading images, labs, data at scale, radiology, pathology, dermatology would benefit from this. AI health monitoring. I always said like these wearables with these, like your Apple Watch or the rings, this is where it's at, but they need to have AI to help predict health events. This could be like, if you could predict like heart failure or that they're going to fall or they're going to lead to a disease based upon that. Healthcare operations, this is where anything to do to streamline or dinosaur of an industry, anything from prioritizations, documentation, coding, etc. Here's the hard reality. It's going to cost money to do this on here. We're talking a minimum 1,000 investment to 500,000 or more. Typically, it's 1 to 5 million to create a clinical AI product. This often requires venture capital on there. Technical requirements, you're going to need to hire engineers to do this. AI engineers, those aren't cheap, $150,000 to $300,000 a year. Ideally, you want to have someone who's a tech co-founder, and so you need to be willing to give up a third to half your equity. You can't just hire contractors in early stage. And this is full-time requirement. You can't do this while running your practice. 3 to 5 years to product market fit, 5 to 10 plus years to meaningful exit. And with it, there is a high failure rate. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not involved in this myself, but seeing my colleagues who have done it and seeing what's going on in Silicon Valley, yeah. AI has been the buzzword for the last couple of years, but they see a lot of failures as well. A lot of regulatory issues you have to be concerned of: FDA clearance, HIPAA compliance, state regulations. You need to validate your studies clinically as well. So the realistic path to building an AI company, first you need to figure out what the problem is and then validate the problem. This can involve interviewing potential customers, 50 plus potential customers, confirm that they're willing to pay for this product, building out your MVP, the minimum viable product. This can take 6 to 12 months. You need to have that, find the tech co-founder. This can be very difficult. You need to have your 5 to 10 paying customers. Then you need to start raising capital. Maybe you need angel investors, pre-seed investors that can raise 500,000 to 2 million. Then you scale it. You're building your team, getting regulatory clearance, and making sure this product is fit for the market. And then eventually, you want to exit 5 to 10 years, acquisition or standalone business. A lot of times where I see where this fails is one, they don't have a tech co-founder who understands that area, how to raise capital, or I'm sorry, not necessarily how to raise capital, but how to build the infrastructure on it. They understand the complexities of regulations in medicine. Healthcare can be difficult to sell this in healthcare. It's a slow sales cycle. A lot of times these people run out of money or the founder wants to keep practicing. So who is this for? This is definitely not for the faint of heart, but this is for someone who's ready to leave clinical practice. They've identified a tech co-founder. They've gotten capital. They're comfortable with high risk. They've had entrepreneurial experience. This is not for doctors who want to keep practicing. They don't have any tech skills or don't have a co-founder. They have no access to capital or not willing to find access to capital. They want quick returns. They're risk averse. They've never built a business before. So a critical question to ask this is, am I willing to leave medicine for at least 5 to 10 years? Am I willing to find a tech co-founder? Am I willing to raise venture capital and build this thing? The key takeaway, though, this is legitimate entrepreneurship with massive upside. It's tech entrepreneurship. You're competing with the Stanfords and the MIT with $10 million funding. Your MD is valuable, but it isn't sufficient. This is a different path altogether. But again, you build it, you could be very successful on here. So those are my 5 emerging models on here. Start where you feel where you're limited first. Let's say capital is something that you don't have abundance of. Maybe you want to start with practicing differently. This could start off with just creating content with module 3 or module 1 on here. Then for module 1, you could go to module 2 where you've started building a proven system. And then you can eventually end to licensing on here. Again, choose the model that fits your current situation. Answer the critical questions that I gave for each model and start. Don't just start doing it. One, research other physicians already doing it. Reach out to them. See what your minimum viable time that you have to devote to something like this. Create an action plan for the next 90 days on here. Hopefully that got your juices flowing. Hopefully this stuff is really exciting for me to chat about. I've seen doctors who started this on the side and are now building 7- and 8-figure businesses. So I'm still very high on entrepreneurship. Hopefully some of these will spur out some ideas. I'd love to hear where you're going into. Please drop us a line at bootstrapmd.com. I'd love to hear, see where you're going or what I can do to help. As always, guys, as physician entrepreneurs, you're going to have your ups and downs. Do something a little each day to keep you closer to your goals and keep moving forward.
You've just listened to the Bootstrap MD podcast. For more valuable resources, as well as past recordings of our show, check out our website at bootstrapmd.com. Now let's get to work.